This is WCQS. I'm David Horand. My guest is Dave Trout from Trout Insurance. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke with two navigators about the Affordable Care Act. Insurance industry associations that represent insurance agents and brokers initially were worried that navigators would cut into their business. Did you share that concern, and did that prove to be true?
David, for me personally, and number one, thank you for inviting me on, I didn't personally have that concern with that because with the amount of folks affected by the new Affordable Care Act, we needed all the resources that we could get to get people signed up with this. The real distinction that an agent or broker can bring to the table, being that we're licensed, is that we can advise folks on the specifics of the plans and how those plans will specifically meet their needs, because as licensed agents and the confidentiality that we have as part of our ethical obligation to folks is we can ask health questions. How do you use medication? How often do you go to the doctor? And we can then steer people to the insurance plan that's going to meet their needs in the most effective way possible.
North Carolina General Assembly and Governor McCrory decided not to create a state-run exchange program. They left that to the federal government. What did you think of that decision not to set up exchanges and to leave it to the federal government?
In terms of the that part of the law had a couple of different aspects to it. The actual exchange itself resembles Expedia. It's where you go to get your plane tickets. You're still buying your insurance from the insurance companies. But just the mechanics of getting to them was left up to the federal government. Now, the exchange, or we most commonly call it the marketplace, has another function, which is to provide the premium discounts, tax credit subsidies, that make the new insurance plans more affordable for basically lower and up and middle class folks. So that functionality really doesn't really vary from state or federal processes. The real distinction between North Carolina and what other states did was the expansion of Medicaid with that. And that meant that people who were under the federal poverty guidelines, under the new regulations, would not qualify for the subsidies that can help them pay for the insurance.
State of North Carolina decided not to expand eligibility to Medicaid.
Exactly.
What did you think of that decision?
I thought it was a poor decision. And the reason for that is that that's really part of the great unserved population of folks that need insurance, that need access to health care, so we can get these folks out of the emergency room and into primary care doctors. And that's really where long-term the cost savings are going to be with this. The other factor with this is that because the insurance companies had to count those individuals in terms of their actuarial numbers, we saw the premiums, the figure I heard, actually raise premiums on the new plans maybe 3 to 5% beyond what they could have been.
Before we talk about what to do if you missed the deadline to apply for insurance under the guidelines of the Affordable Care Act, should those who did fill out applications double check and make sure they are insured?
Yes. Short answer is yes. The carriers are working real hard to get the information to their subscribers to say, oh, we're working on your plan that's getting in place. Now, if you bought a plan through the marketplace, either through an agent or through just the marketplace itself or through the help of a navigator. Right now you have until Friday to postmark a check to the insurance company so that your coverage will be effective back to January 1st with that. So if you need to get in touch with the insurance company, find out what's due, and get that check to them. Make sure your coverage will be in place.
By midnight, January 10th.
Right.
What should be done if you missed the deadline but still want health insurance coverage?
Well, the open enrollment period, initially this first period, runs through March 31st. And right now we're on a schedule of January 15th for a February 1st effective date, February 15th for March 1, and March 31st which is the last date for May 1st effective date. A little clarification on that. That's for coverage through the marketplace, which is basically where we go to get tax credits. You can buy coverage any other time during the year, but you could not get those tax credits that would help you pay for that insurance. In addition, as the year goes on, if you have a qualifying event, you have a child, you have a marriage, you lose your job, or you voluntarily terminate your job, you then have a new eligibility to go through the marketplace and get coverage.
What's the most common concern or question that you're hearing?
Right now, it's how does the subsidy work? The insurance part really is pretty simple as compared to where it would be. What I'm doing more and more is educating people as to what their 1040 looks like and how the subsidy is going to work, and basically getting a list of questions and saying to them, take this to your accountant, your CPA, whoever does your taxes, and this is what you need to know in order for this going forward. And really what we're doing right now, and I think Navigators are playing a real important role of this, and we on the agent side as well, it's a big change. So everybody's involved in a lot of explanation as to what all these changes mean for folks and how these on a big macro level come down and affect people on their day-to-day decision-making.
North Carolina has two carriers, two
Correct.
Companies providing health insurance.
Right.
Is that unusual?
I wouldn't say it's unusual. I would say that from the insurance company's point of view, they looked at each individual state and said, basically, can we play in this market and can we make money? Quite frankly, I'm appointed with multiple carriers, and Blue Cross Blue Shield is the dominant carrier in this state. So other insurance companies with this big change, United Healthcare, Aetna, Humana, at least for this first year, we're taking a wait-and-see attitude. A state that I know a little bit about, Colorado, has 7 insurance carriers in the marketplace, so there's more competition. I think as time goes on, we will see more carriers come into the market. Hopefully, that's going to do the market dynamics, which is where this plan was evolving from. It's basically a Heritage Foundation Republican plan initially to let the market forces drive down costs or at least mitigate the cost increases. I think that'll happen in North Carolina over the next 3 to 5 years, definitely.
Navigators don't advise people about the details of various insurance plans in North Carolina. They don't say this is the best plan for you and your family. They don't sell insurance. How do I determine what I need?
In my mind, in health insurance, there's really two parts to it. So number one, the pure insurance part, the oh my gosh, what happens when something big happens and there's hospitalization, some major accident. That's the pure insurance part of that. Then the other part really is how you utilize benefits under your health plan. How often do you go to the doctor? Do you take medications? Do you have kids with bicycles who have a propensity for running them into the trees so that you need urgent care help? You want to look at how you and your family utilize health care and structure a plan between that pure insurance side and that benefit side to give you the most adequate coverage.
We have a bronze plan, a silver plan, gold, and platinum plans available. Is that what you're hearing from people who come to you and for advice, which of these plans is best for me?
Yes, a lot of times it is. Most folks that I've been working with are taking a bronze or a silver plan. But for instance, because one of the aspects of the new coverage that the out-of-pocket limits include now everything, the doctor's office copays, your prescription copays, I had an instance a few weeks ago with a gentleman who's had fairly good, strong prescriptions that he used, fairly expensive. And we saw that a bronze plan, even though the premium was higher, because the out-of-pocket limit was lower, it was the most effective plan for him over the course of this next year.
What happens if I miss all the deadlines?
If you miss all the deadlines, well, again, you can still buy coverage itself. But again, in terms of the penalty, so if that you don't have coverage, that was part of what was in front of the Supreme Court 2 years ago. If you don't have coverage by May 31st, you may have to pay a penalty, basically on your 2014 taxes. That would be a minimum of $95 for a silver, a single filer, or up to 1% of your adjusted gross income. Now, you add on kids and other family members, it gets more expensive than that. There are some certain qualifications where you're not required to cover or to pay a penalty with that, but that's really how that works.
Based on what you've seen so far, who do you think the clear winners are and who is hurt by the Affordable Care Act?
The people that are really hurt by this, number one, because any big change that we have to a system is going to create winners and losers. Just that's going to happen. Is really those folks who have been self-employed who are making, you know, real good money. And by real good money, say a family of four that's making over $95,000 of their adjusted gross income. They're not going to be eligible for any subsidy. The other folks that aren't benefiting as much, quite frankly, are younger people whose subsidy dollars are not as large as older folks are, pre-Medicare folks. With that, those are the real two losers of this. Some of the younger, healthy people are going to pay more money, and the folks who are more well-off are not going to be advantage of the subsidy. The real winners are basically what I would call the middle class, the folks who are making less than $94,000 for a family of four, okay, who have to buy their own coverage, especially folks who are in a older demographic situation where they're getting their subsidies are larger. I've had plans come out with zero premium for folks, or one person was paying 37 cents a month. They just couldn't believe it. The other winners are folks who had a very difficult time before getting health coverage. They were on the high-risk pool. They were rated up very much. But beyond that, I think some of the real winners are going to be the small business owners all through our area. Because if you have under 50 employees, that counts part-time and full-time, there's no requirement for you to pay for to put in place a group health plan. And now those employees can get good health insurance, maybe at a much more reasonable cost than a group plan. That's really just a thing with the numbers of looking at that with a broker and how the taxes work, et cetera, et cetera. But more than that, how many of us have come across that friend of ours who just says, you know, I am in just the worst job in the world. I hate it, but I've got to stay because I need the health insurance. That's done. That's gone. That person can now do what really inspires them for their life. They can start a business. They may be an artist, a musician, anything like that. They can retire early. But then they can now get health insurance that's going to provide for them and their family and not be stuck in that awful job. And on the just one thing beyond that, because we're going to decouple to some degree health insurance from employer-based coverage in the small group market, folks who have an entrepreneurial bent, who want to go out and start a business, are not going to have to worry about the access to health insurance being one of those factors that they're going to have to make that decision on. They can go out and live their dream and make things happen for themselves and improve life in our area for all of us.
Are you confident that the Affordable Care Act will be with us 5 years from now?
I think so. I think Congress may tweak this to some degree as time goes on, if there's actually discussions on a bipartisan basis where this will happen. I think even if Congress was to change hands and the presidency was to change hands between the party in 2017 after the 2016 election, there's going to be so many millions of people who this would have benefited that I think it's going to be hard to overturn the law in and of itself just in terms of a repeal. The law is not perfect. There are things that need to happen with this that we see on a day-to-day basis out in the real world. And those are things that, you know, we wish would happen in a reasonable fashion to make this change better for everybody.
Dave Trout is with Trout Insurance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.